Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Thank you. And Helen is here. Hi, Helen. Yeah. Okay. Praise God. Eh, wow, the worship. I was like, I think the service is done today. Really? Yeah. But we are here. Amen? Yeah. Okay. The Okumus and family, nice to see you. I think, yeah. Thank you for coming. So, last week, we talked about, or Pastor shared about, walking by the faith of Abraham. And I'll just recap quickly. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, that his descendants will be as many as the stars. And we read from Romans chapter 4, verse 18, that contrary to hope, in hope, Abraham believed and he became the father of many nations. And talking about things being dead, we also read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12, that therefore from one man and him as good as dead, we are born as many stars of the skies in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And Pastor finished by encouraging us with a dream about having endless hope. And this is around, of course, our promises as LAT of numbers and growth. And so, as prisoners of hope, good morning, and thank you for returning to the stronghold. Today, I think I'll start my sharing from the last verse or last scriptures that Pastor shared, Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to 42. And in that chapter earlier, there was a ruler of the synagogue called Jairus, and he had begged Jesus to go and heal the daughter. These are the, before we get to this actual verse. But as he was waiting, the news came to him that the daughter had died. So, as we see here in Mark chapter 5, 35 to 42, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So just there in Mark, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And I think as last Abraham Tabernacle, we told ourselves we cannot manufacture what? Human beings, yeah? You're not going to force them here. And the children were asked, actually, what should we do? And we concluded that we should what? Only believe. So that is where I'll start my sharing today. And hopefully you will be blessed. So what does it really mean to only believe? And in Mark chapter 5:36 to 42, we see that when Jesus took, I think Jesus 37, he took with him, he didn't take with him everyone. He took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And in 39, when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead but sleeping." Then he ridiculed them, and they ridiculed him, And Jesus, but when he had put them all outside, Jesus put all those people who were causing commotion outside. Then he took someone else. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. So, when we believe and only believe, we have to remain in the fellowship of believers or prisoners of hope. Those people who believe with us, yeah, the promises of God, and those to whom the promise has been given. Just like we see here that Jesus took There's a reason he took Peter, James, and John, the brother of Jesus, among others. But also when he got there, he separated those who were ridiculing him, actually wondering what he had come to do to someone who was already dead. Maybe they were getting ready to bury them. He removed those people, and he took the people to whom it concerned, you know, Jairus, because Jairus had been told only believe, and he believed, and he took him and the mother outside. And then later we find in verse 41, he took the child by the hand as he was in the presence of the believers and said to her, Talitha kumi, come, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and were overcome with great amazement. So as we only believe, the first thing that we should remember in this state is to remain in the fellowship of what? Believers, those who are prisoners of hope. In 2014 or thereabouts, 11 years or so, God found me doing my own things. I wasn't praying about this issue, and he gave me a promise, which to date I remain to see happen. But over the years, as recent as this last month, God has reminded me to keep jealously that promise and to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He also, and this he has done it through dreams, he also has shown me a bit of what is happening behind the scenes. And because this promise is so big, I needed some prisoners with me, prisoners of hope. So, of course, I've shared this promise with different people in the church and all that. And along the way, these prisoners of hope, believers, have stood with me. And in a way, that has enabled me to continue what? Believing that promises. And one day, God willing, I'll share more about it. But that promise, which has almost been as old as LAT, we are now in the 12th year, would not. There's one thing to believe, but you also need some believers, prisoners of hope, to remain with you. The other thing is we see, again, concerning only believing, it's important to stay put, to stay in the place, in the company of the people to whom the promise has been made or where the promise is going to happen. We saw that Abraham, before he was renamed Abraham in Genesis 17:4-5, he was promised that he will have many descendants as multitudes, as the stars and multitudes on the seashore. And in Genesis 17, verse 4-5, God changed his name, and his verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. But also, because he was not going to become a father alone, he needed Sarah, the wife, who both of them were dead. They were in that thing together, as prisoners of hope. And in Genesis chapter 17, verse 16, again, God speaking about Sarah says, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. So in this sense, you see that Abraham had been given a promise. He believed, but he had to stay together with Sarah. That was not the time for them to what? Separate, And because if they had separated, the promise would not have come to pass. But also God spoke to Sarah and spoke to Abraham, telling him that Sarah will be a mother of nations. And so Abraham and Sarah staying in their company together was very important for the promise to happen. So even as we believe, we remain with those prisoners of hope, but you should also stay in the company of the people, in the place where the promise has been made, or where the promise is going to happen. Genesis 18, verse 1 to 11. I will not read there, and Mark and I didn't give you this. But when you read there, you see that there were three men who visited Abraham then, and to tell him that around this year, this same time, your wife will have a child. And Sarah was in that tent, yeah? Because they asked, where is Sarah? They said, Sarah is in that tent. And so we see that Sarah was there. They were together in their deadness. Eh? Sarah had not gone away. So when the angels come again to visit, and the Lord himself was among them, they were still together. And so so it is very important for us, even as we are believing, we have believed, actually we believed because there is nothing else, yeah, to do but to believe, that we stay in the place, in the company of the people where the promise has been made, the promise of Eleti, the promises that are individual to you. If God has given you a promise as a family, now you can't start running away from your family. If God has given you a promise that concerns Uganda, stop processing visas to, what is the place these days? Australia, I don't know. Canada, eh? Yeah, if you must process the visa, inquire of the Lord that now how will I come? I don't know, but you really, if God has given you that place and has defined and showed you that general area around where the promise is supposed to happen, then you must stay put. Another thing that place in the Bible where we see this happening was in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. This is when Jesus, after the resurrection, told the disciples that, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we see that there was the promise of the Holy Spirit, but God commanded and instructed them not to what? Depart from Jerusalem, because that is where the promise of the Holy Spirit was going to find them. Also, we find that why it was important for them, and indeed they stayed there, because in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they were in that place where they had been told to stay. They did not depart Jerusalem, but now they were in that one place. But also they were in one accord. So it's one thing to stay put, but it's also important that you're in one accord, yeah, with the fellow believers. And suddenly, what the promise, what had been told by Jesus, and suddenly, and we all know about the suddenly, yeah? Yeah, the mushrooms overnight. Yeah, so we understand this. Eh? We understand this word very well in LAT. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each on them. Let us, even as we have believed the promise of God concerning LAT, you have believed the promises that God has given you as an individual, as family, we are talking nations, whatever it is, let us stay in the place where God has given that promise, in the company of the people to whom the promise is there. But yes, let us also be in one accord. In 2020, oh, it sounds like long ago, yeah? 2020, God confirmed to me that I had been inquiring from God about going to study, and he confirmed to me the studies. So I enrolled and started the studies. But along the way, things became tough, yeah? Things became very, very tough. Of course, studying while working is tough, but also it costs money. It's not free, yeah? It's not free, it's a drug. So we reached a point where we were not able to continue. And there was even a point where around that time I wanted to jump out, yeah? I even had a dream where I was jumping out. My fellow prisoners of hope, some of whom were in that dream, were telling me to stay, but in that dream I was telling them they don't know what it means, yeah, to stay there. So you may be in that situation where now you turn you turn against your fellow prisoners of hope and you tell them, you guys are just talking. Yeah, you don't know what it means to believe God for this promise, to wait, to all this. But they were telling me to stay there. And so as I was walking away in that dream, someone who I believed was already encouraged me that now I should stay. And actually, when I realized that in the dream, I said, I'm very sorry. Yeah. I'm very sorry. Yeah, so there may be situations where you want to jump out, and by the way, I graduated, yeah? Yeah, yeah, I think some of you were wondering, where did it end, eh? So let me spare you. I graduated, eh? But in between there, I wanted to what? To jump out of the prison of hope, but I graduated. Then about being in one accord, sometimes there are promises that God may speak to you individually, but they are for the church. For example, pastor and the ministers who minister here, they are for the church. They may be for your neighbor. They may be for you as a person, as if you're married, as a spouse and all that, or as children. But we need to, like I said, to be in one accord. And years back, as a family, my husband has had some promises, which, of course, end up being, sometimes when your spouse has a promise, you're like, okay, you're praying for them, and sometimes you may not know your part to play. But along the way, there were dreams that God brought to us to show us that, in as much as the promise was and would be fulfilled through my husband, we needed to be together, yeah? And there are some promises which, even when you believe alone, and you're believing and you're going, your fellow prisoners of hope need to believe, and you need to believe together. So the other thing that I wanted to share concerning believing and only believing and being in this state of believing, so apart from staying put, remaining in the company of those who have believed, not jumping out and being in one accord, is to get ready and be prepared, yeah? So we have promises of numbers, you have your promises that you have as an individual. Are you prepared? Are you ready? We all know that the number one promise that God has given us is that he shall return soon. We did our DNA and we said we look forward to the soon coming king. For me, that thing excites me when I think about the troubles of the world. Eh? I'm like, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, now. Maranatha, now. But also the excitement of seeing Jesus after you have served him. So when we have, even with that one number one promise that God has given us, and he promised us in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, that let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus promised and told us not to be troubled, that concerning his returning, he shall come again. He has gone to prepare a place for us with many mansions, and he will come again. Yeah, he will do what? He will come again. That should help make you walk in this Kampala, in this Uganda, shoulder high. Shoulder high, knowing my Jesus is what? Is coming again. But we know that we are not just waiting to get ready when he comes again, because that will be what? Too late. We are already preparing, yeah? And part of our preparation is through the word of God and what we have learned in church, in fellowship, and all that. So, and we do this because we believe him. Don't we believe that? Yeah, we believe, only believe. So because you believe, you're getting ready. And we have been taught many times how to get ready by living our lives for him the way he wants us to live. And so let us be ready. And not just like the 10 virgins only, but the 5 virgins who were ready even when it became a bit dark and they had to sleep. At least when the bridegroom came, they were able to light their lamps. Let us, like the 5 virgins, be ready when Jesus comes again. Pack a last, yeah? Yeah, pack a last. I don't know if Some people know that word pakalas, like oria. Yeah? They may never heard of it, but it means forever. Yeah, until Jesus comes, let us be ready. As a church, we have the promise of Numbers, and God has been preparing us. You know, when it comes to preparation, God doesn't start preparing you when the numbers come. He starts preparing you with what you have, yeah, with the few that you have. So since we believe that the numbers will come, let the few numbers that we have, and today we are many, yeah, we are more than some other days. First of all, our rehearsal, yeah, our rehearsal. Whether it is timekeeping, whether it is, I know the worship team rehearses, whatever you do, preparation, do what you're supposed to do to get ready for the numbers. Continue doing the good you're doing. And also, in the Bible, we have a whole book called Numbers, yeah? Not that you should read it to know what to do. That was a joke, yeah? But just in case you get jittery, the promise, read Numbers, eh? Yeah, and on a side note. But in the Bible, we have people who had to deal with multitudes, yeah? And Moses, yeah? Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 to 21. I will not read maybe everything, but here Moses was stood to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. These people were many. I think they were leaving Egypt. They were over 600,000, yeah, men, yeah, without children, animals. So they were many. So I don't know what he was thinking, actually, yeah? I really don't know how he was thinking, but anyway, he was walking in God's instructions. So morning until evening, and then his father-in-law saw all that he did for the people. He said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to inquire of God." But he was worn out because there were many. So maybe let's go to verse 21. Okay, let's start from here when the Jethro is giving counsel. Listen now to my voice. I'll give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficult to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Verse 21. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to the rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. I'll start with the rulers of tens. Haven't we been here in tens? Yeah, we have been here in tens, as we believe for the thousands. Eh? So just to emphasize that the preparation for the thousands actually stands with the tens. If you have been doing what you're supposed to do, if you have, in the context of LAT, you have chosen men of truth, women also are there, people who are worship team, administration, children's church, ushering, whatever it is, with a few, it will be easier for you to divide people of the 50s, 100s, and the thousands. So we see there Moses, how he dealt with that. And as numbers come, get ready. Be prepared. I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about you. Tell your neighbor. Which ruler? Choose. What do you want to do? Anyway, but that is a go and pray about it, really. Eh? Go and pray about it. Ask God, what is my part in this season? Yeah? Concerning your promises and all, ask God, how should I be prepared? How should I be ready? The other person we know, of course, is Jesus and the multitudes. Eh? And crowds and multitudes, we are no stranger to Jesus. As a matter of fact, he pulled the crowds and all kinds of people. In as much as he had the one-on-one connections and all with people like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, with his disciples, he had these crowds. And in feeding the 5,000 men, Mark chapter 6. Mark, yes, thank you. The apostles gathered, Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 33. The apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, what they had done. Anyway, then they wanted to go to a deserted place. But while they departed, verse 33, people followed, multitudes saw them departing, and knew him, and they followed them. And so Jesus decides to anyway teach them, yeah, to teach the multitudes. So as he teaches them, it becomes late. It became late. There are scriptures in between there. It became very late. The disciples are telling him, send these people back because it's late. We're in a deserted place. Or send them to go and eat. But Jesus asked that, what is there, yeah? What is there? And they found the 5 loaves and 2 fish. We know that story. But I wanted to get to this part. So then Jesus commanded them to make all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So we see also Jesus with the multitudes. He was not haphazard. Yeah, people had to sit. They had to be divided. And his disciples had to distribute in the different ranks. But there's also another place where he broke bread, but this time with fewer people, yeah? Just like now, we are few, yeah? We break bread, we meet every Sunday. And Mark 14, 12, 19, Jesus broke, sorry? We eat mushrooms. Pastor says he eat mushrooms. Yeah. Jesus, actually, yeah, we are not eating cake. The cake apparently is mushrooms. Eh? Yeah. So Jesus broke bread with his 12 disciples in a large upper room. And we see this in Mark 14, 12, 19. You can go and read. But when you see here, it was sort of similar to how he dealt with the 5,000. Even here, we know the story. He told them to go to a certain place. They'll find someone, prepare the room, get ready. So again, the point of preparation, that you start your rehearsals earlier. Eh? You don't sit and wait, yeah, for the sudden mushrooms. Then you start, or for the sudden promotion, or the sudden, I don't know, house, home, whatever God has told you, or the sudden, the job, you start earlier with what you have. So breaking bread with his 12 disciples in the upper room was different from breaking bread with the multitudes, but he instructed his disciples what to do, to prepare, to organize, to arrange, and so this ended up being effective, yeah? The result that he wanted was good. Lastly, concerning getting ready and being prepared, let's go to David as he was preparing his son to build God's temple. First Chronicles 28, verse 10. Okay, it's there. Okay, so we know the story. David really wanted to build the temple of God. He could have died for it. But being a man of God, God told him, no, it will be your son. So here he is talking to Solomon. Eh? And he says, in the assembly of the Israelites and all they had gathered. And he says, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So he started by encouraging him. Yes, you have believed, but now be strong and do what? And do it. Be strong, Eleti, and do what you're going to do, what you are going to do when the numbers come. Be strong and do what God has told you to do, yeah? It may be very difficult. You're like, how? Yeah? How am I going to do this? But be strong and do it. You may feel like Sarah and Abraham were dead. Be strong and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans. David did what? His son Solomon the plans. So there were plans actually. Eh? They're telling me be strong and do it, but you need to have some plans. And we read about the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasury, its upper chambers, its inner chambers. Anyway, when you're building the house of God, eh, God doesn't leave anything to chance. Eh? When you are going to fulfill God's promise that he has given you. He doesn't leave things to chance. The way you feel how big the promise is, make no mistake, you should also feel that the details and the plans of that promise should also come from God. But just in case you're wondering what I'm talking about, let's read on, In verse 12, this is what David says, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit, He had those plans by the Spirit. Because as I was reading this, I was like, David, where was he getting all these prescriptions, Was he an architect? Was he gifted in what? But he got all this by the Spirit. And notice, this was even before, I don't know over what period he was getting these plans and when God would tell him these things, but he's now handing them to his son by the Spirit. So even as we think about those promises, how they are going, if you've believed, by the way, I'm starting from the fact that you have believed. So if you have not yet believed, first go back outside the room, believe, and then enter this room. Now you've entered this room, where are you what? Believing. Alana, you've believed God's promises for your school. Next week or so, you've believed that they are great. So we are not starting from disbelief. So now that you've believed, you're going to ask God for the plans. When I get there, my roommate, my work, I don't know. The things that you miss in Uganda, the food, mommy, what, I don't know. Daddy, ask God for those plans, and he'll give them to you by the Spirit, and he can be detailed by weight. We see in 13 to 18, when you read on in this First Chronicles, it was very detailed, the weight, the materials, and everything. So is the promise that God has given you, God has given it too lofty for you? Yes, it is. That's why you need to get back to him to give you the plans. Let's jump to verse 19 to 20. As you go back and read that First Chronicles 28:10 to the end, then as David finishes, after he has prescribed the different plans and explains them, in verse 19 he comes back and said, "All this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans." So all these plans, it's God who enabled David to understand. And then David again circles back to Solomon, where he started from. You be strong and what? And do it. And he says, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you, until you have finished all the work, not some. All, not what? Some. God will not forsake you. Tell your neighbor, God will not forsake you until you have finished all the work he wants you to do. For the service of the house of the Lord. And by the way, whether you're ministering in LAT or wherever you're ministering, you are doing that in the service of the Lord. I think as I conclude, I want us to wrap again and say, we have believed the promise of God. We have believed. Let us get the companies. Let's get some fellow prisoners of hope. Don't die with your big promise, alone. You need to tell at least someone. You need to tell people who can support you, who can also hold you accountable when they hear you saying, they hear me saying Christine is processing a visa to go somewhere to relocate. They're like, but you told us you told us passionately that God had told you to do this. When did he change? And so those people are there to hold you accountable and to hold you in check, prisoners of hope. And then the other thing is to remember that we have to get ready and be prepared. To encourage us, God has already prepared you. Alana, God has been preparing you, to go to study. So don't panic. Don't put yourself in any panic. Whatever your promises are here, if you are a first-time mother, you got married, God, in a way, was preparing you. Yes, you shall learn certain things that way, but you don't have to put yourself in a panic mode. God has been preparing us. God has been preparing us as LAT for 11 years, He has been preparing us. We are now in the 12th year. And it is going to just be more of an upgrade, yeah? An upgrade in terms of numbers. Can you imagine from the tens to the 50s to the thousands, where I will not be able to see all your faces anymore? So those who have been scared that they always see me, what? Don't worry, eh? We are in the promise where you shall swim, eh? In the thousands, eh? God has been preparing us because Jesus knew how to deal with multitudes. He knew how to deal with a few, and he knew how to deal with the many. And in all those times, it was effective. It was effective. He was effective with a few. He was effective with the many. There was nothing like with the many to whom it may concern. Or with a few, Castabatono, hey, we can start anytime. I can do anything. It was top-notch, eh? Whether with a few or with a thousand. So God has been preparing us. Then God will give you plans. God will give you plans by his Spirit. God will give you a plan. Eh? God will give you a what? God will give you a what? Tell your neighbor, God is going to give me a plan. Eh? Tell your neighbor who's waiting to get married. Eh? There is a plan. Eh? There is a plan by the Spirit. Eh? How that guy will come. How that guy will come. Eh? Everyone will look and behold. Eh? Yaitawa. Eh? God will give you a plan by his Spirit for that car, for the house. For I don't know what you have on your list. Eh? Even those things which you never tell anyone. But I've encouraged you. It is okay to get other prisoners into the hope stronghold. Eh? Me, I inaugurated some. Sometimes they believe on my behalf. Eh? When things are tight, I refer to my co-prisoners of hope. Get them. Eh? Get them. God has a plan. Eh? God has those plans. Like he told David, eh? He will make you understand. God will make you what? Understand. And you shall write it down. You shall write it down. Please, when God gives you a plan, don't just think like how you think about Liverpool, eh? Being the beating Arsenal. An opportunity to throw that there in this season. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, you don't just leave it there. That one I don't have to write. But a plan that concerns a promise that God has made you. Write it down. By the way, you can even sit there with your book and say, God plan. Eh? What's the plan? Eh? What's the plan? And by his Spirit, by his hand upon you, he will make the works of those plans known to you. So, L.A.T., pastor, and the leaders, the elders, those who serve him, Rachel, be strong, eh? Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear, no dismay. Do not fear the experiences that have been in before. Do not fear the uncharted waters, for the Lord God will be with you. The Lord God will be with us. He will not leave you. Tell your neighbor, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you until you have finished all. It says all. Eh? Alana, what does it say? All. As you go to school, write this down. Yeah? He will not leave you, nor forsake you, until you have finished all the work he's sending you to do in, is it Mauritius? Yeah, in Mauritius. Eh? For the service of the house of God. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.